Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, where we study the scriptures and pray for the persecuted church, feature the works of great men of God. It's December 6, 2025. My name is Bob, and that man of God that we're featuring on the weekends now for a while is John Bunyan. We're reading his life story as recorded in Grace Abounding. Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, and there's a much longer title to that, which I won't read. We begin in the middle of his conversion experience. He's struggling to find the Lord. I was also made about this time to see something concerning the beasts, the animals that Moses counted clean and unclean. I thought these beasts were types of men, the clean types of them that were the people of God, but the unclean types of such as were the children of the wicked one. Now, I read that the clean beast chewed the cud. That is, thought I, they show us we must feed upon the word of God. They also parted the hoof. I thought that signified we must part if we would be saved with the ways of ungodly men. And also, in further reading about them, I found that though we did chew the cud as the hare, a rabbit, yet if we walked with claws like a dog, or if we did part the hoof like pigs, yet if we did not chew the cud as the sheep, we were still, for all of that, but unclean. But I thought that the hare to be a type of those that talk of the word, yet walk in the ways of sin, and that the swine was like him that parted with his outward talk of the word, yet walk with outward pollutions, but still wants the word or needs the word of faith, without which there could be no way of salvation. Let a man be never so devout. Deuteronomy 14. After this, I found by reading the word that those that must be glorified with Christ in another world must be called by him here, called to the partaking of a share in his word and righteousness, and to the comforts and first fruits of his spirit, and to a peculiar interest in all those heavenly things, which do indeed prepare the soul for that rest and house of glory, which is in heaven above. Here again I was at a great stand, not knowing what to do, fearing I was not called. For, thought I, if I be not called, what then can do me good? None but those who are effectually called inherit the kingdom of heaven. But, oh, how I now loved those words that spoke of a Christian's calling, as when the Lord said to me, "Follow me," and to another, "Come after me," and oh, thought I, that he would say so to me too. How gladly would I run after him. I cannot now express with what longings and breathings in my soul I cried to Christ to call me. Thus I continued for a time, all on a flame, to be converted to Jesus Christ, and did also see at that day such glory in a converted state that I could not be contented without a share therein. Gold, could it have been gotten for gold, what would I have given for it? Had I had a whole world, it had all gone 10,000 times over for this, that my soul might have been in a converted state. How lovely now was everyone in my eyes that I thought to be converted men and women. They shone, they walked like a people that carried the broad seal of heaven about them. Oh, I saw the lot was fallen to them in pleasant places, and they had a goodly heritage, as in Psalm 16. But that which made me sick was that of Christ in Mark, who said, "He goes up into a mountain and calls unto him whom he would, and they came to him." Mark 3:13. This scripture made me faint and fear, yet it kindled fire in my soul. That which made me fear was this, lest Christ should have no liking to me, for he called whom he would. But oh, the glory that I saw in that condition did still so engage my heart that I could seldom read of any that Christ did call, but I presently wished, would I had been in their clothes, would I had been born Peter, would I had been born John, or would I had been by and heard him when he called them, and how would I have cried, "O Lord, call me also," but oh, I feared he would not call me. And truly the Lord let me go thus many months together, and showed me nothing, either that I was already or should be called hereafter. But at last, after much time spent, and many groans to God, that I might be made partaker of the holy and heavenly calling, that word came in upon me, I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Joel 3:21. These words I thought were sent to encourage me to wait upon God still, and signified unto me that if I were not already, yet time might come, I might be in truth converted unto Christ. About this time I began to break my mind to those poor people in Bedford, and to tell them my condition, which, when they had heard me, they told Mr. Gifford of me, who himself also took occasion to talk with me, and was willing to be well persuaded of me, though I think from little grounds. But he invited me to his house, where I should hear him confer with others about the dealings of God with their souls, from all of which I still received more conviction, and from that time began to see something of the vanity and inward wretchedness of my wicked heart. For as yet I knew no great matter therein, but now it began to be discovered unto me, and also to work at that rate as it never did before. Now I evidently found that lusts and corruptions put forth themselves within me, in wicked thoughts and desires, which I did not regard before. My desires also for heaven and life began to fail. I found also that whereas before my soul was full of longing after God, now it began to hanker after every foolish vanity. Yea, my heart would not be moved to mind that which was good. It began to be careless, both of my soul and heaven. It would now continually hang back both to and in every duty, and was as a clog on the leg of a bird to hinder me from flying. Nay, thought I, now I grow worse and worse. Now I am farther from conversion than ever I was before. Wherefore I began to sink greatly in my soul, and began to entertain such discouragement in my heart as laid me as low as hell. If now I should have been burned at the stake, I could not believe that Christ had love for me. Alas, I could neither hear him, nor see him, nor feel him, nor favor any of his things. I was driven as with a tempest. My heart would be unclean. The Canaanites would dwell in the land. Sometimes I would tell my condition to the people of God, which, when they heard, they would pity me, and would tell me of the promises, but they had as good have told me that I must reach the sun with my finger, as have bidden me receive or rely upon the promises, and as soon I should have done it, all my sense and feeling were against me, and I saw I had a heart that would sin and that lay under a law that would condemn. These things have often made me think of the child which the Father brought to Christ, who, while he was yet coming to him, was thrown down by the devil, and also so rent and torn by him that he lay down and wallowed foaming, as in Luke 9:42. Further, in these days I would find my heart to shut itself up against the Lord and against his holy word. I have found my unbelief to set, as it were, the shoulder to the door to keep him out. And that, too, even then, when I have with many a bitter sigh cried, Good Lord, break it open! Lord, break these gates of brass and cut these bars of iron asunder, Psalm 107:16. Yet that word would sometimes create in my heart a peaceful pause, as in Isaiah, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. But all this while, as to the act of sinning, I was never more tender than now. My hinder parts were inward. I durst not take a pin or stick, though but so big as a straw, for my conscience now was sore and would smart at every touch. I could not now tell how to speak my words for fear I should misplace them. Oh, how gingerly did I then go in all I did or said. I found myself as on a miry bog that shook if I did but stir, and was as there, left both of God and Christ and the Spirit and all good things. But I observed, though I was such a great sinner before conversion, yet God never much charged the guilt of the sins of my ignorance upon me. Only he showed me I was lost if I had not Christ, because I had been a sinner. I saw that I needed a perfect righteousness to present me without fault before God, and this righteousness was nowhere to be found but in the person of Jesus Christ. But my original and inward pollution, that was my plague and affliction, that I saw at a dreadful rate, always putting forth itself within me, that I had the guilt of to amazement. By reason of that, I was more loathsome in my own eye than was a toad, and I thought I was so in God's eyes, too. Sin and corruption, I said, would as naturally bubble out of my heart as water would bubble out of a fountain. I thought now that everyone had a better heart than I had. I could have changed heart with any body. I thought none but the devil himself could equalize me for inward wickedness and pollution of mind. I fell, therefore, at the sight of my own vileness deeply into despair, for I concluded that this condition that I was in could not stand with a state of grace. Sure, thought I am forsaken of God. Sure, I'm given up to the devil and to a reprobate mind. And thus I continued a long while, even for some years together. While I was thus afflicted with the fears of my own damnation, there were two things that would make me wonder. The one was when I was seeing old people hunting after the things of this life, as if they would live here always. The other was when I found professors of religion much distressed and cast down when they met with outward losses, as of a husband, a wife, a child. Lord, thought I, what ado is here about such little things as these? What seeking after carnal things by some, and what grief in others for the loss of them? If they so much labor after and shed so many tears for the things of this present life, how am I to be bemoaned, pitied, and prayed for? My soul is dying, my soul is damning. Were my soul but in a good condition, and were I but sure of it, how rich would I esteem myself, though blessed but with bread and water. I should count those but small afflictions, and should bear them as little burdens. Oh, a wounded spirit, who can bear? And though I was much troubled and tossed and afflicted with the sight and sense and terror of my own wickedness, yet I was afraid to let this sight and sense go quite off my mind, that unless guilt of conscience was taken off the right way, that is, by the blood of Christ, a man grew rather worse for the loss of his trouble of mind than better. Wherefore, if my guilt lay hard upon me, then I should cry that the blood of Christ might take it off, and it was going off without it, for the sense of sin would be sometimes as if it would die and go quite away. Then I would also strive to fetch it upon my heart again by bringing the punishment of sin in hell fire upon my spirit, and would cry, Lord, Lord, let it not go off of my heart, but the right way, by the blood of Christ and the application of thy mercy through him to my soul. For that scripture, lay much upon me without shedding of blood is no remission. And that which made me the more afraid of this was because I had seen some who, though when they were under wounds of conscience, would cry and pray, yet seeking rather present ease from their trouble than pardon for their sin. They cared not how they lost their guilt, so they got it out of their mind now. Now, having got it off the wrong way, it was not sanctified unto them, but they grew harder and blinder and more wicked after their trouble. This made me afraid, and made me cry to God the more, that it might not be so with me. And now I was sorry that God had made me a man, for I feared I was a reprobate, I counted man as unconverted, the most doleful of all the creatures. Thus, being afflicted and tossed about my sad condition, I counted myself alone and above the most of men, unblessed. Yea, I thought it impossible that ever I should attain to so much goodness of heart as to thank God that he had made me a man. Man indeed is the most noble by creation of all creatures in the visible world, but by sin he has made himself the most ignoble. The beasts, birds, fishes, I blessed their condition. They had not a sinful nature. They were not obnoxious to the wrath of God. They were not to go to hellfire after death. I could therefore have rejoiced had my condition been as any of theirs. In this condition I went a great while, but when comforting time was come, I heard one preach a sermon on these words in the song, Behold, thou art fair, Song of Solomon 4:1. Behold, thou art fair, my love, behold, thou art fair. But at that time he made these two words, my love, his chief and subject matter, from which, after he had a little opened the text, he observed these several conclusions. Number one, that the church, and so every saved soul, is Christ's love when we are loveless. Number two, Christ's love without a cause. And three, Christ's love when hated of the world. Four, Christ's love when under temptation and under destruction. And five, Christ's love from first to last. You can read Song of Solomon. But I got nothing by what he said at present. Only when he came to the application of the fourth particular, this was the word he said. He said, if it be so that the saved soul is Christ's love, when under temptation and desertion, then, poor tempted soul, when thou art assaulted and afflicted with temptations and the hidings of God's face, yet think on those two words, my love, still. So as I was going home, these words came again into my thoughts, and I well remember as they came in, I said thus in my heart, what shall I get by thinking on these two words, my love? This thought had no sooner passed through my heart, but these words began thus to kindle in my spirit, thou art my love, thou art my dove. 20 times together, and still as they ran in my mind, they waxed stronger and warmer and began to make me look up. But being as yet between hope and fear, I still replied in my heart, but is it true? But is it true? At which that sentence fell upon me. He wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. That's in Acts 12:9. Then I began to give place to the word which with power did over and over make this joyful sound within my soul. Thou art my love, thou art my love, and nothing shall separate thee from my love. And with that my heart was filled full of comfort and hope, and now I could believe that my sins would be forgiven me. Yea, I was now so taken with the love and mercy of God that I remember I could now tell how to, I could not tell how to contain it till I got home. I thought I could have spoken of his love and have told of his mercy to me, even to the very crows that sat upon the plowed lands before me, had they been capable to have understood me. Wherefore I said in my soul with much gladness, well, I wish I had a pen and ink here. I would write this down before I go any farther, for surely I will not forget this 40 years hence. But alas, within less than 40 days, I began to question all again, which made me begin to question all still. Well, yet still at times I was helped to believe that it was a true manifestation of grace unto my soul, though I had lost much of the life and favor of it. Now about a week or a fortnight after this, I was much followed by this scripture, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. That's Luke 22:31. And sometimes it would sound so loud within me, yea, and as it was, call so strongly after me, that once, above all the rest, I turned my head over my shoulder, thinking verily that some man were behind me, calling me. Being at a great distance, methought he called so loud. It came, as I have thought since, to have stirred me up to prayer and to watchfulness. It came to acquaint me that a cloud and a storm was coming down upon me, but I understood it not. Also, as I remember, that time that it called to me so loud was the last time that it sounded in my ears. But methinks I hear still with what a loud voice those words, "Simon, Simon," sounded in my ears. I thought verily, as I have told you, that somebody had called after me that was half a mile behind me. And although that was not my name, yet it made me suddenly look behind me, believing that he had called so loud, meaning me. But so foolish was I and ignorant that I knew not the reason of this sound, which, as I did both see and feel soon after, was sent from heaven as an alarm to awaken me to provide for what was coming. Only I should muse and wonder in my mind to think what should be the reason of this scripture, and that at this rate, so often and so loud, should still be sounding and rattling in mine ears. But, as I said before, I soon after perceived the end of God therein, the purpose of God. For about the space of a month after, a very great storm came down upon me, which handled me 20 times worse than all I had met with before. It came stealing upon me, now by one piece, and then by another. First all my comfort was taken from me, then darkness seized upon me, after which whole floods of blasphemies, both against God, Christ, and the Scriptures, were poured upon my spirit, to my great confusion and astonishment. These blasphemous thoughts were such as stirred up questions in me against the very being of God and of His only beloved Son, as whether there were in truth a God or Christ, and whether the Holy Scriptures were not rather a fable and a cunning story than the holy and pure Word of God. The tempter would also much assault me with this. He would say, "How can you tell but that the Turks had as good scripture to prove their Muhammad, the Savior, as we have to prove our Jesus is? And could I think that so many 10,000s in so many countries and kingdoms should be without the knowledge of the right way to heaven, if there were indeed a heaven, and that we only who live in a corner of the earth should alone be blessed therewith? Everyone doth think his own religion right, both Jews and Moors, Muslims and pagans. And how, if all our faith and Christ and Scripture should be but a think-so, too?" Now, sometimes I have endeavored to argue against these suggestions and to set some of the sentences of blessed Paul against them, but alas, I quickly felt, when I thus did, such arguings as these would return again upon me. I heard, "Though we made so great a matter of Paul and of his words, yet how could I tell but that in very deed he, being a subtle and cunning man, might have himself given himself up to deceive with strong delusions, and also take the pains and travel to undo and destroy his fellows?" These suggestions, with many others, which at this time I may not and dare not utter, neither by word or pen, did make such a seizure upon my spirit, and did so overweigh my heart, both with their number, continuance, and fiery force, that I felt as if there were nothing else but these from morning to night within me, and as though indeed there could be room for nothing else, and also concluded that God had in very wrath to my soul given me up to them, to be carried away with them, as with a mighty whirlwind. Only by the distaste that they gave unto my spirit, I felt there was something in me that refused to embrace them. But this consideration I then only had when God gave me leave to swallow my spittle. Otherwise the noise and strength and force of these temptations would drown and overflow, and as it were, and bury all such thoughts or the remembrance of any such thing. While I was in this temptation, I often found my mind suddenly put upon it to curse and swear, or to speak some grievous thing against God or Christ his Son and of the Scriptures. And now I thought, surely I am possessed of the devil. At other times again I thought I would be bereft of my wits. For instead of lauding and magnifying God the Lord with others, if I have but heard him spoken of, presently some horrible blasphemous thought or other would bolt out of my heart against him. So that whether I did think that God was, or again did think there was no such thing, no love, nor peace, nor gracious disposition could I feel within me. These things did sink me into very deep despair, for I concluded that such things could not possibly be found amongst them that loved God. I often, when these temptations had been with force upon me, did compare myself to the case of such a child, whom some gypsy hath by force took up in her arms and is carrying from friend and country. Kick sometimes I did, and also shriek and cry. But yet I was bound in the wings of the temptation, and the wind would carry me away. And I thought also of Saul under the evil spirit that did possess him, and did greatly fear that my condition was the same with that of his. We have to stop there, but next time we will see how he is attacked with the idea of the unpardonable sin. And of course, when he read that, I'm sure we know what he believed for a while. Oh, he overcame it all, folks, and so can you, whatever you're going through, whether by word, thought, action, things going on in your life, God will help you overcome it all. Trust him. Trust him. We'd like to ask, as a favor to all my listeners, that you would send me an email at bobdiakonos7, BOBDIAKONOS, and the number 7, at gmail.com. The reason being, the numbers on sermon audio is just, they just go back and forth as far as who is listening and who is not. I don't know who's out there, how many, if any, are out there listening. All I need is an email from you saying, I am listening, and you can say thank you if you want or not, but I need to know if there are really people out there, okay? I'm not asking for money, never have, never will. I'll send it back if you try it. No, I don't want your money. And I'm not putting you on a mailing list. I just need to hear from you that you're out there. Would you do that for me? And find some other people, will you, to gather with us as often as possible. And do continue to search on this site for the other readings by Charles Spurgeon and other well-known preachers. I have stories here of great Christians, Bible commentaries, reports on the suffering church. Just click on the word sermons or the word series or the word articles for my written things. I think you'll be blessed with something that you find. And we've just turned over to the 4,000 mark now of audios that are there for you to enjoy, to be blessed by. Check out my books at Amazon.com. Visit iCommitToPray.com or PrisonerAlert.com for regular updates on the persecuted church. Thank you so much. Lord willing, we will talk again real soon. Bye-bye.